doesn't.
Sanders with a seam. Sanders with a cutback. And Sanders down the sideline. One to beat.
This is the Pride of Detroit podcast. It's the podcast from SB Nation.
Welcome to the podcast, the Pride of Detroit podcast, PODcast. I am Christopher Lemieux, writer for PrideOfDetroit.com. In with me is Alex Reno, writer for Pride of Detroit. And Ryan Matthews, fantasy writer and editor for Pride of Detroit. I think he does other writing, but I just like saying fantasy writer because that's really what we wait for each week for Ryan.
Yeah, and he's not very good at it either, but...
Are we going to have this fight start up again this week? Like, we can't seem to get through a single week without you guys just wanting to just throw hands.
I really don't even want to dignify anything that Reno has to say with a response. But, I mean, I did win FanDuel last week against Reno in our rematch, if you guys listened to the podcast.
Barely by, like, a point because of a kicker.
W's a W. I mean, if you want to call for your rematch later, you can.
Mick
but,
who?
McAnus?
McAnus.
we can't get away from just dirty puns on players.
No, we can.
And coach names.
You know what?
We're all 12 here. We're all 12 here.
It spices up the podcast. I don't care. You know what else spices up the podcast? A lot of people getting fired. Which is exactly what we're just going to dive right into it right now. And we should probably get out the Twitter things, at Malkovich Plan for myself, at Alex_Reno. Is that right for you, Alex?
Correct.
And then Ryan Matthews.
Is at, yep, at Ryan_POD.
Ryan_POD. The underscore is important. But there was a lot of people were fired today. And I just want to lead off with this question here. Is Martha Ford just a complete gangster?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, she's an OG, but if she would have came up in like a cable hat and a 36-inch chain and left them shades on, she would have been Firestone. That would have been her name. She needs to go by one name.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Martha Firestone. Ford. She needs to just adopt Firestone. Just her name is Firestone.
She's got to come in with that press conference like Firestone here.
Yeah, oh, Firestone
God.
Here.
Oh God, Firestone's coming around to the office.
Yeah, no, I agree. Big criticism. She did not wear the shades when given that press conference. Press conference, by the way, that was like a minute and 54 seconds total.
I kind of feel bad for the media guys who have to drive all the way out there, aren't able to ask questions, and then have to drive all the way back.
Well, I mean, I sat there. I was watching on the stream, but I was like, you know, I was punching out articles left and right for covering the whole thing. And I sat there. I'm like, okay, great. I'm going to take a bunch of notes. And instead she comes out with that paper and she's gone. I'm like, you could have just done this as a Vine or something.
Yeah.
Just put the whole thing on like a Twitter video or
YouTube. Fit it into two tweets. You don't have to come out for a press conference.
I know. Her press conference was barely longer than a Rousey fight. So. And she was starting to lose it a little bit. She was kind of running out of breath by the end of her speech. But
yeah, that's okay.
Can we just talk a little bit about the speech? I mean, it was like, what? It was about a minute in length, if that.
A minute, 54 seconds. I think I timed it. It was just under 2 minutes. I think the most interesting thing there is we all hear about Martha Ford being in control of the Lions. I think today proves that she is. This was basically like, find the largest person in the prison, fight them. But I also liked how she referred to, she didn't really refer to herself on these decisions. She said, my family, our family. It was like she was going full La Familia on you, like, right?
And I don't like that at all.
I don't mind it. It feels even more gangster to me.
Just the history of the Ford family. Just talk about yourself. Don't talk about the family.
I think. Okay, so the other thing that stuck out to me, so the family thing did stick out to me. The other thing that probably much to the chagrin of everybody else in Lions Nation was her announcement that she didn't feel the season was over and that the Lions were still playing to win this season.
You got to say that though, like that's the dirty trick about like tanking and everything else. You can never say that you're actually tanking or you're actually giving up.
Well, that's
I don't know.
You don't have to say that you're still trying to win the season. Just say that you made these moves. Like, I understand, like, it's It's just to save face, well, but everybody can see through it. A 90-year-old is up there saying that the Lions are still trying to win after we just saw what happened Sunday morning against Kansas City.
There is another point to this, too, and that's still ticket sales, right? She still wants people coming to the games and buying things. This was partially a bit of a PR thing. I think it was a PR for a good cause at the end of the day, but people have been calling for heads. And if she says that and says, hey, we still want these guys to win, I think we'll get people turning out. Like, you'll get people, like, deciding, hey, maybe I should, like, think for a second before the paper bag comes on.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I kind of agree with Ryan. I don't think you have to bring that up. You can just say that. What did she say?
We still expect our team to compete and to win, I believe.
Yeah, and when she said about the fans deserve a better team, just say that. You don't really have to say that you're still trying to win. I mean, we all know they're 1-7. There's absolutely no chance.
That's a small thing for me.
It's a small thing. I mean,
you can say you want them to compete and win, but they still will probably not in a lot of games.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we own say that you want them to compete, but don't say that the season isn't over. We all know that it's over.
We know that the season's over. You don't have to say that, Martha.
We're not stupid. Come on.
That's true. So then, that's true.
Yeah, and then the other two things that stuck out to me were when she announced that Sheldon White would be the interim general manager, and then Allison Mackey would be the acting COO.
Yeah. Is this the first team with like a woman as a president and an owner? Or I think there might be a few others out there. I just find that to be fairly interesting. I also found it interesting that it went to White, and most people were speculating it was going to be Xanders.
And I wasn't surprised at all, really. I mean, they both were interviewed over the last offseason. I think White was interviewed by the Eagles and Xanders by the Dolphins. And Sheldon White's been around with the Lions longer than Mayhew and has been talked about as one of the better pro personnel staffers on the team. So I really wasn't shocked at all, but I know a lot of Lions fans were.
Do you think both of them survive into next year, or are they just strictly interim?
No, I think Ford made that pretty evident that they're launching, as she said, didn't she say, a national search?
Right, I could see maybe Mackey. Is it Allison Mackey or Mackey, or how do you?
Right,
I could see Mackey. Her staying.
You say Mackey, I say Mackey.
Yeah, sure.
I think that Sheldon White has a better chance of staying than Brian Xanders.
Definitely, I would say that's true. Yeah, I mean, if you're interviewing for that Eagles position, I mean, you want to talk about forward thinking. That's, you know, Kelly. I mean, see what you want about Chip Kelly. He at least tries to be a little revolutionary there in Philadelphia.
And if White does stay, I don't think that means that he has to be the general manager. I mean, maybe, he takes over as interim for right now, but then he could get a demotion later. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Hard to say if there will be more interviews. And I'm sure now if there are more interviews for other positions out there, he'd probably be more inclined to take it rather than trying to stick around with the Lions. But, you know, hey,
yeah,
you get what you can. I just find it interesting that it's like, you don't usually see front offices cleared out in the middle of the season, do you?
No, and that's the thing is that you talked about that earlier, Chris. If there is any doubt, like, whose team this was, like, it is Martha Ford's team.
Yes.
Because that was the thing that I found the most hilarious was when she says, White's the team president, he's reporting to me. Mackey's the chief operating officer, she's reporting to me.
Yeah. Power
that
structure
was the part I loved.
Power structure is firmly in place. Balance of power has been restored, you jackasses.
Yeah, it's been restored to the Lord Firestone.
Yeah,
Queen Firestone,
Mistress Firestone.
Yeah,
that's
Lady Firestone.
I know we ran that open letter to Martha Ford, and there's a lot of people, and that's always been the refrain for years, right? Is that the Fords don't care about this team. The Fords, this was a toy way back that they've just kind of neglected. And if there's any, I mean, we'll have to see what happens with the moves actually being made, but I think this was just a great boost of confidence that, like, you know, Martha does really care about the team, at least for right now. I don't know. Do you see it the same way, Reno, or do you just feel differently?
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that William Clay didn't care about the team either.
I mean, how that narrative plays out with fans.
Of course. I mean, when you're losing for so long, you just assume that nobody cares, and if they're not making the right decisions, then they don't care. But I would say that the entire Ford family does care. I mean, like William Clay. Like, hiring Matt Millen, in hindsight, was the worst move ever. But before he was hired, he was like the national guy that had a different perspective and a hard-nosed football player, and everybody thought he was going to turn things around, but it just didn't work out.
Now, someone asked me this on Toledo Sports Radio, and I flubbed around a little bit on it, but what were kind of the positives from the Mayhew years? Like, do we have many other than, like, he didn't miss too much on those top picks that he had a lot of?
I mean, we made the playoffs twice. We should have beaten the Cowboys. We have Megatron. I mean, he didn't screw everything up like Millen did.
Yeah, but I mean, he drafted Sue, but I also saw, what is it, of his draft picks since 2011... none of them have been Pro Bowlers. And, yeah, and the second round draft picks speak for themselves between Titus Young, Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah, I mean, what Mayhew was just an average at best GM.
Yeah, I did find it interesting. I mean, you got to give him this credit. He at least found, Joik Bell diving around too. But
yeah, I mean, that front office has made some decent moves picking up some undrafted free agents. But
oh, sure. Yeah, even drafting, Warford in the third round. I mean, they have had their share of, hits, but they've also had their misses. I mean, you can't overlook, Brandon Pettigrew, great blocking tight end, not worth a first-round pick.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is, like, at the very
Eric
least,
Eric Ebron, not a first-round pick.
Got a first-round pick for Roy Williams. So,
I mean, first, a third, and
yeah, he got all that for Roy Williams. So I think you got to give him that too. That trade.
Oh, that's the best part about Martin Mayhew is he's a master manipulator that can pull off some crazy trades, but he can't.
Right.
Like when he picks up those picks, he can't actually pick the players.
Yeah. Yeah. And it
you
sounded
do
like
everything
just,
right.
Scouting was bad. Like the scouting just really, betrayed the whole vision in the end, which, I mean, that's okay. He's the one who's getting those scouts, so it's time to shake it up. I would say this, though. It's kind of very eerie between, and maybe you guys are both Tigers fans. Isn't this kind of remind you of what happened with Dave Dombrowski? Trade deadline, just passes, same thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can see that parallel.
Sort of. I mean, I think that a lot more people liked
Well, no, Dombrowski. A lot more people liked Dombrowski. Dombrowski, he immediately got snapped out by the Sox.
Yeah, I mean, Dombrowski was good at signing players. The farm system was awful, and I think that was pretty much a downfall. But, I mean, I think he did a decent enough job.
But
we
you know
had
what?
A terrible manager.
The farm system, for the large part, was just, void of talent just because he was using it to flip it.
Trading
to,
everything.
To pick up guys like, Anibal Sanchez, Miguel Cabrera. I mean, so he was an incredible trade negotiator.
But just in how it works, right? You have a critical trade deadline where people are talking about the future. And this is kind of a little different is that, everyone kind of wanted DD to buy in and keep the window open. Whereas everyone was asking for Mayhew to sell and Mayhew.
I was
stood
asking
at,
DD to sell, man.
I mean, okay. But apparently the ownership didn't agree with that. So, there's that to consider.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. You also wrote about Tom Lawan. I don't know how much Lawan really impacts all of this, though, to be honest. But, president, there is something in there in negotiation. I'm just curious what this is going to look like moving forward.
I think firing Lawan is just as big as firing Mayhew because he is the money guy. And, I mean, look at Calvin Johnson's contract. I mean, he basically outbid himself to give Megatron by far the biggest wide receiver contract.
Right, and the Stafford contract, too. The Lions are kind of buried in a little bit of cap
hell. The constant reconstructuring of Stafford's contract, I think he did it twice. I think he did it once to Megatron's contract. And we just kept putting ourselves in a bind so that we couldn't re-sign players to win whatever be it.
Yeah.
That was the difficult thing, though, is I understand they had to keep on kicking the can down the road, and they had to keep on restructuring Stafford's contract and restructuring Calvin's contract, but it was kind of just that layover from the old rookie pay scale that wasn't in place. So, you have these guys who they came in making that much money. They think that they're worth that much money. You drafted Matt Stafford number one overall. Calvin was the best receiver in football when he got that contract still. He's your franchise quarterback in Stafford. He's your best wide receiver in the NFL in Calvin Johnson. You have to pay those guys. Now, I would say on the contrast, on the flip side, he made a great move by not throwing all that money at Sue. Like, I think that
was a great move by Luan. Sue, to me, was a lose-lose situation. Yeah. Either you pay for this generational talent and you pay the repercussions of it by not being able to get anyone else for years to come.
Exactly.
Or you let him walk out the door.
Right.
Like, there was no real way to win that situation.
Like, honestly, how much money would you'd have probably, like, what, like 60, 65% of your cap tied up in three players?
Yeah. You couldn't, like...
You couldn't do that. Like, the Levy contract. What about the Levy contract? The Levy contract, granted, he hasn't played this year, but that we all thought that that was an incredible deal. We all thought that was a bargain to get DeAndre Levy, especially the contract that Levante David got, you know, from the Buccaneers.
And, you know, it's probably a good thing that they never really finished the Haloti-Ngata negotiations in the preseason, because you look at this team, and that's probably where I'm going to be going next on this, is like, how much of the team's really going to get cleaned out? Because you know what happens when these coaches come in, they see this roster and like, no, I want my own real way. You know, the core pieces stay in, but everything else kind of gets rejected.
No one is safe, not a single person.
I mean, people were saying, Ian Rapoport was saying like Stafford might not be safe, which,
yeah, I saw that tweet.
I think there's truth to that. I think, you know, you keep him for a couple more years, you eventually draft a new quarterback and you ease him into the system.
Okay.
I mean, we can keep talking about Stafford as a quarterback, but I'm seeing more people turning against Stafford and pointing out, it's like, yeah, you've kind of, you know, you've busted through all these, you know, all these coaches, all this talent, and you're... Yeah, I don't know. Stafford's been very indefensible this year.
He has, and I don't know. It's been a tough season, and I don't know. We've kind of reached a tipping point at this point, and you know, apparently Martha did too. But I really don't think that it was necessary to get rid of Lewand. Other than the fact that I think it's just like it's a way to now market your team as we've completely cleaned house. Because the person who needed to go, though, was Mayhew. Like,
yes.
Mayhew was 100% indefensible, where I'm at least saying that, like, okay, like, we had to give the money to Stafford. We had to give the money to Calvin. He made good decisions in free agency with the money that he, you know, that he could spend with, like, or even just, like, you know, the re-signing of Levy and Sue.
Yeah,
but like,
he overspent on Megatron. I mean, I think that Mayhew and Lewan were just a package, and if you're going to fire one, you have to fire the other.
Yeah, maybe.
I can't argue with that, but, like, I want to look at the facts of Mayhew. Like, I'm looking at them right now. He drafted 53 players since 2009. Only one was named first-team All-Pro, and that was Ndamukong Suh. Only two were named second-team All-Pro, Sue and Levy. Only two made a Pro Bowl. Sue made four of them, and Stafford made one. None of his 11 picks from 2010 or 2011 are still on the roster.
I would also say Ndamukong Suh should have probably have won the Heisman when he was in college, except they never really give it to defensive players. Like, that whole Heisman that year was atrocious.
Beast.
Yeah, like, he was a no-brainer, duh, you take him, that the Lions got.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great pick. I mean, there's no denying, like, the talent that Sue is. In some alternate reality where the Lions made the smart choice and picked Aaron Donald instead of Eric Ebron, we don't have this problem.
I think Ebron can grow into it. I know I've also said, and Alex, you've disagreed with me about the Lyle Collins point I made, too. But, yeah, I mean, some of these first-round picks have been a little weird the last couple of years, and I think that's the problem, is that it's like, whoever's been evaluating talent, it's kind of dropped off the last couple of years.
Well, I think the first-round picks haven't been all that bad. I mean, look at Ziggy Ansah. He's like one of the
best defensive ends in the country
in the NFL right now. But it's really those middle-round picks that he completely failed on.
Yeah,
and you still need those to win football games. I'm surprised we've gotten this serious about this when all I wanted to really talk about was Martha Ford and how more gangster we could really make her to appear. But I mean, that's fine. That's fine. This has been very heavy today.
I think we need a little bit of seriousness, I guess, in our podcast, because every week, especially after last week with the Cooter talk.
Cooter still got his job. Did Martha Ford fire an offensive line coach today? I thought I heard something about that.
I think it was just the two people we heard about today.
Well, I was listening. Yeah, I was listening to Bomani Jones. He was talking about she fired an offensive line coach. I couldn't find anything.
They were probably bringing up the offensive line coaches that we already fired with.
Yeah, might have been. He might have gotten that twisted. I was just kind of
He got that twisted because even Martha Ford said during her press conference that we are not making any changes with our coaching staff at this moment.
Right. I mean, not at this moment, which is basically saying like
Caldwell's dead man walking.
You've got until Christmas to clean out your stuff, to get ready.
Yeah, he's trying out for another team right now, and that's
he's not. He's
trying out for an offensive coordinator
job. Yeah, not for a head coach.
Not for a quarterback. A quarterback coach job.
Since 1957 was the last time a Lions head coach got another head coaching job after leaving Detroit.
Yep,
it's cursed. After being hired by Detroit, yes.
Right, unless you talk about like Dick Geron,
in 2005. He was an interim for who's he an interim for? Was it
interim for the Lions? But then he went on to Mooch?
Was it Mooch at that point? Was Mariucci? Was he the interim for Mariucci, or was that?
That's a good question.
I'm drawing a blank right now. I know I'm a horrible person right now for not remembering this.
I'm not even sure I'm saying it right. Dick Geron?
Dick Geron, yeah.
I'm trying to. Yeah, this is where the podcast always gets weird, is where we start having to Google everything.
Yeah, it was Steve Mariucci and Geron was interim.
Yeah, and he went on.
I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and he went on to coach the Bills for like 3 years, which, I mean, granted. Okay.
Yeah, it's not much of an
upgrade.
Good
job, Ryan.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So do you guys like have anybody, I know we didn't really talk about this, but do you guys have anybody in mind for who makes sense as the next general manager? Or because I don't want people like I even heard people on 97.1 on the way home today on Blenny and Foster talking about they're falling into that trap. They're falling into that pitfall of, you know, we need to just go hire somebody from New England or somebody, you know.
God. As if we've done the Bill Belichick tree enough and seen what rotten fruit that's fallen out.
Right. Like, as you know, we haven't seen, you know, Pioli fail in
two words. And Charlie Weiss.
Charlie Weiss. Romeo Crennel.
What, for GM?
I'm talking about, GM. So, like, I'm just talking about, like, don't fall into that trap of, like, well, just because they're a great organization, there's people that they're not going to let go. Like,
I mean, Belichick just runs that thing in such a way that it's just, yeah. I mean, he's basically the GM there.
I think hiring a coach and hiring a GM is kind of different too. Like you're going to see a lot more retreads as coaches than you are GMs. Like most of the time you're just going to hire some guy who is like the director of pro personnel on some other team to be your new GM instead of like a Brian Zanders who already failed with the Denver Broncos.
I don't know. I just feel like, you know, you've got a chance right now with the Lions pretty much as a blank slate when it comes to what the future is going to be. You've got a chance to just be something really radical moving forward, right? Like, I would like to see, I don't even know who you would get, but I'd like to see kind of, you know, someone to put an emphasis on new qualitative scouting, put some analytics in there, just kind of try to outsmart people on this. And I don't know who you would get as a coach. Like, I mean, because I'm so locked up in ideas about, like...
I feel like is so far down the road. Like,
yeah, we haven't even gotten there yet.
We can worry about that in December after...
We own the Bears.
You look at like the history of the NFL in like the past like 30 years or so, like the most successful guys seem to be the guys who are coaches and also making the personnel decisions too. It's always better when you're giving a Jimmy Johnson the power to like do things like trade Herschel Walker.
See, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with the head coach being the general manager too, because I mean that's what Wisenhunt was with the Titans.
Yeah, I'm...
Well, okay, so I'm looking at a list of, like, possible candidates right now, and they have Chris Polian, Jack... I mean, it's what you guys said earlier, like, you know, most oftentimes it's a director...
I just don't
want to
give Bill
It's a director of player personnel. So, yeah, like, I mean, Chris Polian from the Jacksonville Jaguars, we have Elliot Wolf from Green Bay, director of player personnel.
Yep.
The one interesting name I see is Michael Lombardi, Patriots coaching assistant, who...
Never again.
Lombardi, all of a sudden we all have PTSD and we're, you know, in the corner sucking our thumbs. But, you know, It says here, like, you know, Bill Belichick clearly likes Lombardi enough to have hired him as a coaching assistant the past few seasons and has been described by colleagues, Mike Rice, as Belichick's right-hand man if the Lions really want to be a contender.
See, who I've heard from the Patriots was that Nick Caserio guy, who's their director of player personnel, of course.
Yeah, that's on this list, and, too. It says that he interviewed for the Dolphins GM job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and so did Zanders. So if they can't get it, then...
Right.
Yeah. I mean, look at the Dolphins now.
I kind of like some of the guys who have been doing, I don't know the names off the top of my head, but I mean, mm-hmm. I look at like the rebuild job like Oakland's been doing, and I'm just...
Oh, they look good.
Yeah, like I, and you know, the Bengals finally look like they've finally got it turned around, just like...
Hugh Jackson.
Okay.
Hugh Jackson,
okay.
2016.
There he is, Hugh Jackson. Coach.
There we go. Got my plug in.
Since we mentioned 97-1 earlier, and we're kind of like nearing the midway mark here, Ryan, do we have a Wally's World story this week?
We don't really have a Wally's World, but if you guys rewind back to last week, Wally's World was about how the Lions were going to clean house.
Prophetic.
So we're going to have to
change Wally's World to Ask Wally.
Yeah, we're gonna have to bring my dad in here for like, you know, like a 5-minute conversation about, you know, what his crystal ball has told him, or I'm gonna have to check his phone records to see if he's been calling Miss Cleo to get in, to get insider info.
Can I do an experiment though, just looking at the players, moving away from like who we're gonna hire on this, because I don't think we're really gonna hire anyone until like January or so when it comes to this front office.
Oh, I don't think so either. I think you have to promote within, wait till the season's over, and then just go on like a comprehensive search.
Well, how early do you need to get a jump on scouting, though?
What do you mean scouting? Like scouting a GM?
No, scouting for the draft. I think that starts
that's year round.
Immediately after the last draft, like you start.
Sure. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, are the Lions going to wait all the way until January to put somebody in place?
I think around December you'll see probably like a hire in December, and it'll just be in a little early so they can start lining up scouts or whatever they can. And
yeah, I mean, that depends on if we actually ended up firing other people, like our scouts or something. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, again, from what I heard, like a lot of the scouts got cleaned out before this whole Mayhew axe drop. But just as an experiment, and I was doing this on Toledo Radio, and I thought it could be a little cool because we talked earlier about how no Lion is safe, and I just feel like we could maybe like list some names here and say, hey, after, like, is this person going to be traded or re-signed
or I like that.
Anything else? So let me pull up a list here. I think we should start with a big one, though, and probably the most contentious is going to be about Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm.
So no Lion is safe. Let's call this the Cecil corollary.
Oh God.
Matthew Stafford. Is Matthew Stafford's job with the Detroit Lions here for 2016?
Yeah, I think the only two that are like totally safe right now is probably like Calvin Johnson, because he's got so much money tied up on him you can't even move him. And probably DeAndre Levy, who is
Megatron and Stafford's contract are pretty similar in terms of dead money.
Yeah, and then DeAndre Levy just got pinned that deal.
Yeah, So I think Megatron and Stafford are going to stay for like probably at least one more year. If you're going to draft a quarterback, you could also just let him develop behind Stafford for a year.
For a year or two. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's the best path, rather than just constantly throwing these rookies to the fire like NFL teams seem to love to do today. What about the secondary? I know Rasheen Mathis is probably gone.
Get out of here.
But what about Darius Slay?
Oh, yeah.
He's staying. He's got to come back.
Yeah.
I think a good question is who even wants to stay with the Detroit Lions right now?
Well, what about Golden Tate?
Calvin Johnson wants to stay. Like, before we get into Golden Tate, like, I mean, I find that so admirable about Calvin Johnson, at least. I mean, we can talk about all the dead money that we have. Mm-hmm. You know, we can talk about his huge contract. But, I mean... The guy, like, he genuinely wants to win here. Like, I believe him when he says that. Like, the guy has stuck through thick and thin. Like, he's been to the lowest of lows. And, like, he's gotten, like, the taste. You know, he's had victory, you know, pulled out from underneath him in, like, the Cowboys game. Like, when the Lions lost to the Cowboys in the playoffs, like, he was the guy that I felt for the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know. And like, it's always a weird thing when we get that narrative of the Lions waste talent, trade Calvin Johnson to a winner so he can try to win something in his career.
And like even I've like, I mean, I talked to this about you guys, like in the Slack app. Like, I mean, like there was at some point, like on that, you know, trade deadline. What was that? Was it Thursday or?
No, it was
earlier this week. Wasn't
it? It was Monday. Was the deadline.
Okay. Sorry. Long week. But yeah, so the trade deadline was Monday. And like, I even like just threw it out there. I was like, guys, like I want Calvin to win. Like the guy has been like such a like class act. You know, his work has been admirable. Like he's always stuck around even when it's been awful here and it's been so dire. Like, I just want to see this guy be successful. Like, I wasn't around. Like, I wasn't able to like appreciate like the Barry Sanders years. So I don't know if there's like a parallel to this.
Well, the other thing too about Barry Sanders retired in Detroit. People forget that there was no like Sanders retired early. I assume mostly on a health thing too, but like Sanders was staying in Detroit.
Right.
So
I mean, he retired when he was 29 or 30. So
yeah. Cause that position is hell. The running back position is hell on a body, especially when you're getting as many carries as Sanders got.
Right.
Going through the list here again, okay. I guess the
sorry
next
for
one...
sidetracking.
No, it's fine. I think
sorry
that's a good
sidetrack.
That's a good sidetrack to have. That is a very good sidetrack to have.
Typical Ryan.
I don't know See, the problem is I don't know details on many of these contracts, but we'll just keep going. Joyke Bell.
I don't think so.
No, I don't.
He's a hometown kid. He's a hometown kid.
Yeah, I mean, I love the guy as a person, but I think he's just getting older. His legs are dying underneath him.
Yeah, he kind of bounced around.
Granted, he did look pretty decent the last game, but
yeah,
he didn't look bad. I mean, so this comes back to like Chris's point of like all the run that Amir Abdullah got in college.
Yeah,
I can only imagine how much run Joyke Bell had at Wayne State.
Well, that's true, but then he also, you talk about the years and getting up there, he also just bounced around for so many years on, like, practice squads and, like, preseason squads and everything else. It took a while for him to actually, like, get on the pro field.
Sure, but you just have to think about how hard he's, like, pushing his body, even though he's not, like, playing in the NFL nearly as much as, you know, say, like, an Adrian Peterson or something like that. Your body still has to take a toll from all that time you spend in college, all the time you're training.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, yeah. Well, what about Golden Tate?
Yeah, part of me wants to believe that Golden Tate's kind of bought into the whole Detroit thing, but kind of hard to tell with Tate.
Yeah, it just from his body language on the field, like it doesn't look like he was playing for the Seahawks his entire career and they won a million games every season. I mean, it just seems like he's not used to losing and he doesn't know how to take it.
I just think that's more of his personality. It's not that he's not liking losing, it's just he's like that competitive in the moment. I think he seems fine outside of it.
I don't know. I don't know if it just doesn't seem like he even wants to play for this team anymore, but that's just me.
Yeah. Let me give you two real weird ones here. Let's start first off. I have no clue how many more years are on the rookie contract there, but Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah. I mean, he just got drafted.
He's a healthy scratch IR. I don't know. Why?
No?
Why keep him? Why waste a roster spot? Why waste a roster spot on a guy who can't even get dressed?
Right. I think the question is like, why is he not getting dressed? And I think that'll be interesting to see what happens with the next coaching
staff.
It's
hard to say because, I mean, a new coaching staff could come in. Like, who even trusts what Caldwell and his staff thinks right now about these players? Like,
yeah,
they're not
playing these guys. That's a level.
Maybe a new staff comes in and they really like Van Noy.
You just saw it this weekend where basically Abdullah was just like he disappeared. Lombardi was gone, and they're like, "No, we're just not going to run Abdullah out there anymore."
That was probably the most frustrating thing for me. Like having him. Was he kick returning in that game? I think
he was kick returning. Yes, that was the only he got that and like two snaps.
So you're gonna use him as a kick returner, but you're not going to let him develop as a runner. You're just going to throw a Joyke Bell out there when you're losing 45-10 and not even give a few carries to Abdul. It's
frustrating.
I'm so mad.
What about Stephen Tulloch?
Get out of here. Get out of town. Leave my team.
You heard it here, folks. Reno wants to see if a new defensive regime can resuscitate Kyle Van Noy's career, but he wants Tulloch the hell out of town.
Get out of here. Pack your bags.
Well, can I offer up a coach now instead? because I think this is a really interesting one.
I want to get to one more guy.
Sure, go ahead. Sure,
I want to get to one more guy to see what you guys think, if he stays or not, because this is the Iron Man of this Lions team. He seems
Don
to survive.
Mulbeck?
Don Mulbeck. Right?
Dan Orlovsky.
Oh. Hell yeah. Make him our starter.
Yeah, why not? Let's keep him.
He just seems to survive everything. Like, he's a cockroach.
He's
not
a cockroach.
I mean, that's a horrible thing to call. No, I mean, like, he survived all these years, and he just, man, being a backup quarterback in this league does have its benefits, because no one's like, yeah, we need to get rid of the backup quarterback.
Ask Matt Flynn about the benefits of being a backup quarterback.
Oh, gosh. You know what's going to happen is Caldwell's going to get fired. He's going to be hired as a QB coach somewhere else, and he's going to bring Dan Orlovsky with him, because Dan Orlovsky always follows
Caldwell.
And he's
going to win a Super Bowl with Dan Orlovsky.
Oh, hell yeah.
Perfect.
It'll happen.
With the Browns.
With the Browns. No, not with the Browns. Anyone else? Like, you know, maybe
hey,
Cincinnati.
You just said Super Bowl and Caldwell, so.
No, maybe I could see it with Cincinnati. Andy Dalton gets hurt, and he just takes Dan Orlovsky on this, like, Cardale Jones-type three-game streak to get through, like, the AFC Championship.
Not without Hugh Jackson coaching the Lions.
So okay, what was the coach you wanted here, Ryan?
Okay, so the coach I wanted to offer up was Terrell Austin. If we hire a new head coach, does Terrell Austin stick around?
No. I look at the numbers.
I don't think so. Because when you hire a coach, they're going to bring in their own staff. I doubt they're just going to.
Even Terrell Austin in a vacuum, like, we're seeing what he's doing with the defense now that he doesn't have generational talent in Ndamukong Suh and a massive pass rush unit with Sue and Fairley and everyone else that was in that unit that was eating people alive last year.
I just feel like he's catching the raw end of the deal. I think he's a great coordinator.
I do too. I think he's a really smart guy, and I don't think our defense is as bad as being 30th in DVOA right now.
And I think there is something to say there too. Like, I know time of possession numbers kind of lie a little bit, but you look at when the offense is constantly going three and out. Like, that does take a toll when the defense is out there constantly having to play and getting tired and giving up big plays. The secondary is a big point of contention too.
Well, it takes its toll, because look at the depth that we do not have on the defensive line.
Right.
And I mean, you can argue that the secondary last year, a lot of those, I mean, those weren't coverage sacks and the interceptions that the secondary had last year, it wasn't because, you know, that they were playing great coverage necessarily. It was because of the pressure that was being generated up front. Yeah, exactly. Right. And like, just look at the cast of characters that, like, week to week, like, we're either like, we're signing somebody or somebody gets hurt, like Caron Reed is out, and like, now not is back, and then not is out, and then like, you just have like a revolving door.
Who did we sign this week? I should know, because I wrote the article on him. James Michael Johnson. Yeah, James, we have Michael, like, Johnson. Eight. Yeah. They put, before they put Levy on the IR, we had like eight active linebackers.
Big fan of the hyphenated name, by the way.
His website is great too. Like, he has some great quotes on there. He doesn't like Valentine's Day because he says women are expensive. And all I can think of is, you know, great. You know, you get a woman, and first thing she's going to do is check your website.
Digging right there, man.
Right? Yeah, good digging. Good digging, Chris. Makes me think of LaShawn McCoy's women only party that he was going to throw.
Oh, God. I remember that. It's fantastic.
Yeah, but back to the defensive line though. Like, it's all about creating pressure, and anybody who knows me knows that I absolutely hate Jason Jones on this team. Like, he cannot do anything as a pass rusher. All we really have is Ziggy Ansah right now, and I honestly thought he wasn't going to be this good. I thought, like, his success last year was based off of Sue's dominance.
Not really.
But he's actually
Tahir Whitehead.
No, like, yeah, like, why is Tahir Whitehead not playing? Like, he is the most athletic linebacker on this team, and you're having Travis Lewis in coverage. So that's something that I really don't understand what Austin's doing. So I would interview him for the head coaching position, but
you can do a lot better, I feel.
You can.
Oh,
like,
okay. So that's interesting. I wasn't like offering that up. I was just wondering if he was going to stick around as like a coordinator.
Yeah, like, no, I would seriously, like, I would interview him. I would interview almost anybody out there that wants a head coaching job. I mean,
I'd interview, but I just to give
the, we have the, to do our research, man.
I would
we
give the to... interview for the sake of appearance and courtesy, but I would not hire Terrell Austin. That's my opinion, though. I have been wrong about a lot of things.
I wouldn't hire him either.
Okay. No. Yeah, that's fine. Then we agree.
From what I've seen, I wouldn't hire him.
Have we worn out this topic? Is there anything else? Because we got a bunch of questions, and I want to give you guys 5 minutes here about a very personal topic.
Yeah, let's just get into questions because we're not going to talk about the Chiefs game. Lions, as you mentioned earlier before the podcast, Chris, we're going to beat the hell out of this bye week.
Yep, going to beat them like the Bears.
Yeah, because we own the Bears. We own the bye week.
We own the Bears, but
we own the bye.
I think the bye week is favored this week, though.
The bye week is favored.
About like 3 points, but you know what? They're going to have this coming. I'm going to write the recap. You'll know the action about this bye week.
Can you please write
I'll do
a recap
the inactive
of the Lions versus the bye week?
I am not throwing that out there flippantly. I will write a recap, and I will force probably Jeremy Reisman to write Lions fan fiction disputing my recap.
I'll do the inactives before the game and write 53 names on the inactive list.
No. Inactives, Martin Mayhew.
Well, I was going to say, hold on. The actives should be 22 Matthew Staffords.
Martha Mayhew. Ford.
Get the hell out of town.
Martha Ford is the quarterback.
Okay, let's get to this very personal thing, and I'm just going to give you.
Firestone,
I'm going to put it
Martha
here.
Ford.
Yeah, Mistress Firestone. Yes, that actually almost sounds too wrong.
Ms. Firestone.
Ms. Firestone Ford. I am setting a stopwatch. I am going to give you guys exactly 5 minutes. I want you to talk because this is at halftime. At like half the time, it almost devolves into a wrestling podcast. 5 minutes on the DOP, and I will stop you if we go over this. 5 minutes on Seth Rollins getting hurt and having to relinquish the WWE belt. Go.
You go ahead, Ryan.
Okay, so basically for those of you who aren't totally invested in wrestling like Reno and I are, because he's wearing an independent wrestler's t-shirt right now. So Seth Rollins, the WWE champion, is going to be out 6 to 9 months because he pulled the Dante Culpepper and blew out every crucial ligament in his knee.
I like the NFL tie-in.
You gotta keep the listeners in.
Mm-hmm.
So he blows out his knee at a house show over in, I believe it was Dublin, Ireland. The amazing thing is he blows out his knee and still finishes the match by picking up a 250-plus-pound gentleman and slamming him through a table. So that's when he earned even more respect than I already had for the guy.
Seth Rollins is an absolute badass.
No, I love him. I know very little about wrestling. I watched, like you guys know, I watch about 4 shows a year and the accompanying Raws that go with it. But like, I love Rollins. Like he's one of those pop culture guys that gets out of WWE and into the larger world. Like it's fantastic.
Right, and he's one of those guys, too. I'll let you get into it in a second, Reno, but he's also one of those guys, too, like, in terms of pop culture. Like, he will go to every town each week, and he will get so much heat by making sports references.
Right, the very famous Johnny Idiot Face thing when he went to Cleveland and prophetically said that LeBron wasn't going to win them a title. And sure enough, NBA Finals were going on, and what happens?
LeBron
Warriors
chokes.
Warriors in what, 5? Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say LeBron chokes because, I mean, that
he was the only one playing on that court.
So completely
anyway.
Steph Curry.
Dearth of
Curry
talent. Yeah.
God, right. Curry's a monster.
Monster.
So, hold on. We're wasting our time, Reno.
Yeah.
So, go ahead and you spot off on how you feel about the direction that WWE is going to take now.
Yeah, so what I was going to say is, basically, Rollins is amazing. We already established that he's a badass. So, that's going to suck having him out for 6 to 9 months, yada, yada, yada. But it also creates an opportunity to maybe run a tournament leading up to Survivor Series and giving somebody else the title.
Or even just like a tournament at Survivor Series, like a Deadly Games, like they had that back in 1998. That's when The Rock won his first title.
Yeah, but that would take so long. You have to do it leading up to Survivor Series.
They did the whole tournament at Survivor Series.
If you're going to commit to getting rid of all the other matches, that's
fine. This is the thing about Vince, though, is that Vince moved away from, like, he got rid of King of the Ring. He got rid of all these, like, tournament-style pay-per-views because you can't promote matches. And, yeah, I mean, I can't say that the guy's an idiot, but he... I don't know. That's an argument for when we have more than 5
right.
minutes.
But anyway, you're still good. I want to ask a quick question though.
Sure, go ahead
before you go on. And
yeah,
Is there any chance, like, when Rollins does come back, that he's going to be set up pretty well to try to get that belt back? Because that just feels like a raw deal.
Without a doubt. I mean, I would put him... I mean, he's the same level of talent as, like, Daniel Bryan. If Daniel Bryan got a clean bill of health tomorrow, he would immediately... I mean, granted, the Rollins thing just happened, but he would immediately be put, like, at the top of the card.
Right. I think... Yeah. When I think of
WWE... Rollins is even better on the microphone than Bryan.
Yeah, when I think of...
Yeah.
When I think of WWE, I think Bryan, I think Rollins, and I think Brock Lesnar. So I'm...
And John Cena.
Oh,
well, this is the interesting thing. This is the interesting thing, too. So, like, at the last pay-per-view, Cena loses the U.S. title to Alberto Del Rio because... Cena's taking a break for a month or two. So WWE can't just fall back on its laurels and be like, oh, you know what? The champion's injured. Who are we going to give the title to?
John Cena. Spoiler, because, I always win.
Yeah, spoiler, LOL, Cena wins.
LOL.
But so that's the interesting thing is that, like, it's going to create an opportunity. And as far as opportunity, who do you think Reno deserves a shot to run with the title? Because this is essentially going to be like a test run.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I would say Kevin Owens.
Ooh. I mean,
he's awesome on the microphone. He's one of the only guys in the ring that will just start yelling at the fans, yelling at whoever he's beating the crap out of. And just make it that much more entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to keep running with the authority storyline, it'd be just the perfect way to just get Owens involved.
Yeah,
he can be your heel that can take the belt, and you won't lose any steam with, you know, Rollins being out.
Yeah, my idea was to have basically Kevin Owens take Rollins' position basically with the authority, win the belt, have Rollins come back 6 to 9 months later or whatever as the face, and the crowd just go absolutely nuts for Seth Rollins and maybe win the belt back.
Fantasy booking. I love it.
Yes.
Guys clocked in with 10 seconds left, so that was great. Fantastic.
Should we get off? I still have 5 seconds.
No longer have 5 seconds. The theme song for Pride of Detroit podcast.
That's right.
I can't listen to that without hearing in my head the crowd chanting along with it. John Cena sucks. Yeah.
Yep.
It's not even original, though. It just makes me think of, like, Kurt Angle, the original You Suck chant.
You suck. You suck.
You suck. Okay, all right. So we
all right, let's get on to questions. Let's get on to questions rapid.
All right, we own the Bears.
We own the Bears. We own the Bears.
You guys wanted to keep this under an hour. We are at 45 minutes. Let's see how fast we can get through these questions. Big Haircut asks, and always Big Haircut with the good questions, what would Nathan Fielder do to fix the Lions? Keep in mind, he got really good grades in college.
He did. He did get really good grades in college, that 2.5 in whatever class that was. I love that guy. I just started watching that show the other day, and that is one of my favorite shows now.
Okay. What is the most winnable game left, asks Joseph R. Sweeney 5.
This week, the bye week.
Bears. We own the Bears.
And the Bears. So, last game of the season.
I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of getting...
Hashtag we own the Bears.
I'm kind of getting terrified of the Bears right now because, like, Cutler's looking good again. He's going to get Jeffrey. Bears, okay.
Sorry.
That's legitimate, though. Like, you guys remember at the beginning of the season, we're like, you know what? The second half of the schedule for the Lions looks real easy. Well, now we know the Raiders are trending towards legit. Yeah.
That's what I say every single year. The strength of schedule before the season starts, just don't even listen to it.
It's I was on Toledo Radio to start this season, and we were like, yeah, you could start 1-5, but you can, like, run the table the rest of the way. I'm like,
good one.
Okay, which character from the Star Wars universe is Stafford? Calvin, Levy, Caldwell? Underdog's just basically asking us to pin Lions to Star Wars because the new one's coming.
I'm just gonna go right ahead and say the Martha Ford Emperor one because
Ford earned her position as Emperor Palpatine this week.
She is the Emperor and she kind of has the face for it. Sorry.
Well, would that make Caldwell Darth Vader, like, just a very uncool Darth Vader?
Well, who is the most expressionless person in the Star Wars universe?
Yes, and he never says anything. He just breathes very heavily.
Yeah, and then also considering that, you know, Vader wears a mask, so, like, his face can literally never change. Same thing with Caldwell.
True. That's a good one.
Underdog also submits that Lombardi is the Sarlacc monster from Return of the Jedi because he hasn't moved for centuries. He has eyes or ears to speak of.
Wow.
It takes hundreds of years for him to digest anything.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I will also throw in DeAndre Levy as Chewbacca.
No, I'm just kidding.
the original one, Stafford. Who would Stafford be?
I don't know enough about Star Wars, so I'm going to digress on that one.
This is who I wish that Stafford was. I wish that he was
Darth Maul.
I wish that he was Luke Skywalker after, is it The Empire Strikes Back when Luke gets his hand cut off?
Yes.
All right. If it's Stafford's throwing arm, I would love that because then he would retire.
Dang, he'd get like a mechanical hand.
That's harsh.
He would get a mechanical hand, but you can't throw with a mechanical hand.
Those are pretty good mechanical hands.
You can't prove
Star
that.
Wars.
You can't prove that wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's like superpower. Maybe it gets like extra strength on it.
It's like Kurt Warner when he wears his gloves. You get superpowers.
I'm just trying to think of just some big bumbling bro-ish brute kind of guy from Star Wars, and my memory is so bad. So we'll just move on.
Appreciate the question though.
Yeah, it's a great question. I want to explore it more, but we're kind of trying to go rapid fire on this. Someone here has a spoiler from Walking Dead. We are not going to touch it. I don't watch Walking Dead, but we'll be polite to those who actually... And by the way, I also don't care about spoilers. I will spoil crap on this podcast.
Oh, you're an asshole.
I don't care. Watch it when it's live.
No. Everybody has DVR.
Cool.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Well, then you shouldn't like this... When did Walking Dead go on the air? Monday? Like this Ask Our Podcast...
Yeah, go ahead and spoil that. I don't care. Walking Dead isn't even a good show.
All right, you want me to spoil it? Spoiler alert.
No,
jump ahead.
Don't.
No? Okay, never mind.
Yes, do it.
just
move along to the next question.
Just move along.
Okay, in an effort to remember good times, what is each of your favorite Stafford comeback moments?
Easily.
There's two that jump to my mind.
Cowboys fake spite.
Cowboys fake spike for sure, and then also Cleveland. His rookie year against Cleveland, right?
Yes, Cleveland, yeah. Cleveland and Dallas. God, that's a toss up for me. I would have to say,
no, man, I'm married to that Cowboys one just because the radio call on that one was just fantastic.
All right, I'm gonna have to play a devil's advocate then. I'll go with the Cleveland one. Like dislocating your shoulder, was it? And then throwing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it was the opposite shoulder, but still dislocating a shoulder and then throwing a touchdown pass after is. Badass.
Single Digit gives us a bunch of really good questions here. I'll just pick out two. First is, should the Lions change their logo again?
I don't know. I wasn't like a big fan of them adding like the racing stripes to the lion.
They basically changed it from an outline to, hey, here's more of it so you can actually recognize it as a lion.
But the old logo, it kind of looks like he had like his two arms are like a big mouth and it's connected to it just looks weird.
Looks like a mutant.
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, I'm down for a rebranding. I'm down for a rebranding.
Maybe just like
a
lion
too,
head logo on it or something. Yeah. I mean, I always was a fan of like the horse head logo for the Pistons. I'm like the only one. Brian Packy thinks I'm a monster.
Hold on. I liked it too, though. But I liked it after they rebranded and went back to like the red, white and blue.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the teal, but they had a moment where the horse head logo was red, white and blue.
Right. Yeah. So when
I think red, white and blue is kind of a lazy color combination, too. But whatever. That's what the Pistons have always had. Another one. Will the Lions ban Snickers bar from their concession stands?
What?
Never mind.
Okay.
Should Martha owning the team and calling the shots be a reality TV show? You know what? I would wager that this team is probably going to go on Hard Knocks sooner rather than later.
Oh, that would be incredible.
I mean, you could create your own reality show called Firestone.
Hard Knocks, Firestone.
Firestone.
Yeah, Hard Knocks, Firestone.
TJW Go Blue, what are your thoughts on a massive NFL expansion? Man, we still have a bunch of teams that are crap. Like, I don't know
how I absolutely hate it.
Yeah, we don't need any more teams.
You're already like every other league is like 30 teams. Like we're already kind of stretching it in the league. So
the Lions are 1-7 and we want expansion.
We still have the Jacksonville Jaguars as the Jaguars and we want expansion.
The Jaguars are trending up, but they're ascending.
I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
And then in their place, we could also look at, like, I don't know, who's the other team that's just kind of like falling the crap off. I think the Chiefs are kind of doomed for a while.
The Titans.
Yeah, the Titans
are fired. Wisenhunt. They're still terrible.
Guys, the 49ers starting quarterback is Blaine Gabbert.
Yes, that is very grim. You want to talk about an ownership that's given up and is just now shilling out for the money? That's the 49ers right now.
I feel bad. Well, no, okay. I don't feel bad for them.
I don't feel bad.
No.
Three players retire is kind of insane.
And, you know, a head coach suddenly bail town for his alma mater and everything else that has been like.
Yeah, no, I take that back. I don't feel bad for them.
Yeah, I don't know so much about bail town as ownership just not being friendly to Jim Harbaugh.
What should the new identity of the Lions be next season? Go back to pistol formation, high-flying offense, or a physical defense? I would say to that, why not both?
I want to see more physical. I want to see them draft all in the trenches and build that way, but it's way too early to say. I mean, you have to see who your head coach is going to be first.
And that's always the thing, too, is like people will say, well, do you want a good offense or do you want a good defense? And I'm just kind of like, can't we try to get both in time? Like, yeah. Why does it have to be one or the other?
I would rather us focus heavily on defense. But then again, like, in regards to who our coaches were last season, like, in hindsight, I would have rather seen us draft purely defense so we can have our smart coordinator actually have a good
defense. Have pieces to work with, yeah.
Yeah, instead of, like, forcing Lombardi, like, all these great weapons that he can't even utilize.
I just don't want another offensive lineman in the first round. I know there's probably some good offensive linemen. I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, you can probably still find good offensive line talent in a later round than the first, but especially this early draft.
I want Laramie Tunsil, number one overall. Put it on the board.
Okay, we will have plenty of time to talk about that. And, like, the million drafts you'll be making. Yeah.
I'll have plenty of time to write about that.
I want the Lions to go to a Wildcat offense.
Tim Tebow.
Tebow. Yeah, let's get that train started.
Timothy.
I want them to run Wildcat offense and a 5-2 defense. Let's
Gus Malzahn run that hot.
Bring
that,
back like, Ricky Williams, baby. Ricky Williams, Ricky Ronnie Brown.
Ricky Williams.
Oh, Ronnie Brown. Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams.
Oh, man. To ensure the Lions get back on track, this is another Joseph R. Sweeney one. I'm just reading down the comment chain. Some people post like three of these. I'm going to be more discerning next week, but whatever. To ensure the Lions get back on track, what would you rather be forced to do daily? Write at least 5 pages of John Cena as my Juggalo stepdad fan fiction. Be nationally known for it. Wear only Ohio State sweat outfits from the early 90s. Bikram yoga for 2 to 3 hours, nothing, and the team is doomed to 2-4 for the next decade.
What?
What just came out of your mouth, Chris?
Which part?
The entire thing.
Those were 4 different options here. Do I need to, like, put this in the chat so you guys can, like...
No, that's fine. Can you... Okay, so the first option was writing John Cena as my Juggalo dad fan fiction?
Yes.
The second option was wearing only Ohio State sweat gear from the early 90s.
Yeah.
Well, we can immediately cross off wear only Ohio State sweat outfits for the early 90s.
Yeah, there are people in Ohio. That can be taken off the board, though.
I wouldn't mind doing Bikram yoga, though. I'd feel healthy.
I can't say that I know exactly what that is, but sure.
Yoga. It's intense yoga.
Okay.
But, I mean, you'll feel better.
I'll do yoga.
Be mental state. Yeah. I mean, what's
can
wrong
I do
with
yoga,
doing yoga
while I write up at least 5 pages about John Cena?
Sure. I'm sure that's a yoga position.
All right.
Anyway. All right. Let's keep going down here. This was a good one, actually, and we just don't have enough time to talk about it. It's what we were going to talk about originally. Is the Detroit media too thin-skinned? So if you didn't see it, Caldwell came out and said this was the most negative place media he's had, which, I mean, he's been in, like, Baltimore, Indianapolis, and where was the other place he coached at in the pros? It was in
I can't help you.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember it off the top of my head. Oh, Tampa Bay. And then, I mean, he just ran in a bunch of, like, random places in college, like Winston-Salem
like,
State
compare
College.
All of those programs to the Detroit Lions. Like, I was legitimately mad when I heard him say that. Like, you have no idea what we've been through.
Right, but at the same time, too, is the too thin skin. I mean, it's kind of interesting to see all these people backlash against it, including, like, Drew Sharp. And but
God.
I would also say Detroit is probably one of the more negative sports towns.
And they should be. That's fine. No, just across he's
all
right.
Sports, like, I mean, I would probably I was doing the rankings for this before I had to shutter it all for all this stuff. But I would say, like, number one's probably D.C., because if you say the wrong thing about the football team there, you will lose your job. Two is New York, because all you need to know is go and search for the covers. You can actually search for New York Post cover pages in, like, an easy-to-search database, and they're fantastic. Three has to be Philadelphia, because it's Philadelphia.
Oh, Philadelphia fans are the worst.
They booed Santa Claus, man.
Yeah, and then four is Detroit. I would say it's above Boston, because Boston's only negative about the Red Sox.
Yeah, I agree with him that our fan base is one of the most negative, but why are you even saying that? Like, are 1-7. Yeah, like, what do you expect having a 1-7 team come off of a playoff team after we have not experienced, like, any success, like, long-term success ever? I just didn't get that.
Well, I think the interesting thing that Chris pointed out with, like, the short list that he made of those four cities, Philadelphia, definitely. Would you guys say that that's a football town?
Absolutely. No, the Eagles are huge.
Yeah, no doubt. I would also go to wager that DC, definitely football town.
Oh, yeah. No, the Redskins dominate. Like, the Nationals can be on a run and people will be talking about the Redskins.
Sure, even if they're putrid.
Yes.
But that's the thing, too. I think the only team that might be the outlier there, not being a football town necessarily, is New York, just because they are so baseball centric.
Well, baseball, and, you know, they have such a love of basketball too.
Sure. So. Yeah, with, like, the Knicks and everything. But Detroit and the state of Michigan is definitely, and I've had this discussion with many people, it is 100% a football state.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Although I would say, like, of the four teams, I would say the Lions probably get the most. The Tigers are, like, right behind them, and then it kind of circulates between Wings and Pistons, depending on who's, like, good.
Who's good. Right, yeah. Exactly. Like, I mean, look at, okay, so
yeah, Kansas, Hockey Town is a bunch of crap.
it's relatively speaking, compared to other American hockey.
Like, I love the Wings, but, like, the whole Hockey Town concept.
But you can't tell me that outside of, like, Boston, there's a bigger hockey city in America.
Minnesota.
Like, but they don't care about the Wild. They care about college hockey.
Care about the Gophers, yeah.
Yeah, they care about college hockey in Minnesota.
I wouldn't know.
That's fine, but that's like the same. Okay, but I mean, that's like saying, like, people in Indiana don't really care about the Pacers.
But that's like saying that Georgia is like a Falcon state when all they care about is the Bulldogs.
Florida Panthers, guys.
Okay, anyway, so what I was getting back to, like, trying to circle back to my point was, like, I'm sure all of you guys have seen the turnout for the parade in Kansas City for the Royals. Do that, but multiply it by, like, three or four if the Lions were to ever, say this blasphemous thing, but if they were ever to win a Super Bowl.
Dude,
think this city, this state would shut down.
No, dude, what I would say is if the Lions won a Super Bowl, we run pieces all the time about Devil's Night in Detroit, where arson levels just skyrocket because people think the best way to celebrate that night is just start burning everything down. Devil's Night would come, like, 8 months early.
Yeah.
And, like, people would just, you don't have a light problem in Detroit anymore. People would just burn it all. Like,
gotta go couch just, shopping.
Like, yeah. Michigan State would be, like, completely one-upped on just how many couches were burned.
Gardner White and Art Van would see a huge uptick in sofa sales.
Just, oh my, yeah, it would just, but, it would, yeah. It, like, yeah, there's nothing that would compare to it. Not even the Cubs winning the World Series, I would say.
Ooh.
Sure. Ooh, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
just
those are
football.
Yeah. That'd be tough.
That's close, though.
That's a toss-up. But the thing is, I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that the media and even the fans, we are very thin-skinned about the Lions because, you know, it's the water, it's the feeding trough we come back to each and every year, and we can't give it up, and we can say we're not going to watch the games, but at some point in time, every Sunday, the game will be on in the background, even if you just want to curse at the TV. I mean, I don't know.
In the thin skin equation, I would also add in there too, like, the Lions have kind of a negative, such a negative national thing that people get very view that people get very defensive about them too. And that also, like, you also get defensive about being from Michigan or being from around Detroit too. Like, we can talk about the chip on the shoulder, but I mean, people still rag on you if you say you're from Michigan or you're from Detroit. I mean, there is that. I don't know how much that figures into it, but I mean, I don't know. Two more questions real quick. Jack H. asked, did Lombardi listen to Eminem's Cleaning Out My Closet when he was cleaning out his locker after he got his pink slip? I don't know if you understand what Cleaning Out My Closet was about, but.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he knows either, but unpopular opinion, Eminem is.
I don't think that's unpopular.
I'm not even going to say it.
I don't think that's unpopular anymore. People are turning against Eminem, have been turning against Eminem for a minute now.
I still like Eminem.
Age will do that, though. Age will do that. If you're not still up on it, then you know what? Last question from Alex Reno, and we close the podcast on this. Do the Lions own the Bears?
We own the Bears.
We own the Bears.
We own the Bears.
All right, let's get out of here.
We own the bye week.
At Malkovich Plant. At Pride of Detroit on Twitter, prideofdetroit.com. Chris Lemieux, at Malkovich Plan. That was me choking on my words. At Alex Reno, at Ryan _ P.
Alex _ Reno.
Okay, right. Yeah, both of you have underscores. I don't.
Yeah, give me 1,000 followers, please. I'm 150 away. Thank you.
Damn. Yeah, I just got like 10 more today.
I have 71, cool. I think.
Good job.
So my internet cooter is growing.
Internet cooter.